Department of Public Works. I'm seeing new faces from the Department of Public Works. Therefore, we are going to introduce ourselves once more. And you will also introduce yourselves. My name is Marisi Stanley Mutimele, the chairperson of the committee. Honorable members.
Member of the committee.
Over to you, Tuakala.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Samuel Tuakala. I am from the Department of Public Works. I'm the DDG responsible for the Program Management Office.
Good morning, members. My name is Jacob Maroga. I am the DDG responsible for facilities management in public works.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I am Major General Edwaba from the Department of Defense. I would like to apologize for the SecDef and Chief Logistics who could not make it, but as I think they have already indicated, we came here with Public Works together to address the issues which were raised by the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Dixon Tunika Yamkono, a Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Ministry of Public Works.
Good morning, Chair and Members. I'm Max Wazinski, the Acting DG in the Department of Military Veterans, and I'll ask my team to introduce themselves.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and colleagues. My name is Nontobe Komafu from Department of Military Veterans, DDG responsible for empowerment and stakeholder management.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members and colleagues. My name is Sibo Useni Ndlovu. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Military Veterans. Thank you.
Morning, Honourable Members. I'm Smakane Mwasebu, CNG, in the Office of the DG. Thank you.
Is that all? Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Moses Rampele from Department of Military Veterans, responsible for planning. Thank you. You must speak into the mic.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Colonel Thulele Eric Mpusula, Officer Commanding of National Works Unit, Western Cape. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Colonel Mabala from Defense of Formation.
Good morning, Chair and Members. Peter Gavin, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Minister of Defense.
Morning, colleagues. Reggie Marimi, PLO, SecDef Office, DOT.
Thank you very much. Marwa, can you switch off that? You are all welcome. I haven't seen you for quite a while. I really did not recognize you. Other members will be joining us as we go on. And I understand that there is an agreement between Public Works and DOD out of us that the Public Works will start presenting first. Or DOD, We'll start presenting first. Yeah. Over to you, General.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much for this opportunity. We have distributed the document, and I think the historical background is that several times when we appeared in front of the committee impressed upon us that we need to resolve our problems between ourselves and Public Works. And now today we are here to just say what were the problems which we have had in the past, just to reconfirm, because we actually, it is a repetition of what we have said we had as problems, and also what actions have taken place since then, and how are we taking this whole thing forward. And I hope that in the presentation of our colleagues from Public Works, they will be indicating maybe further progress since we have had meetings. Without much ado, I would like to take you through the slides. Here we just wanted to in the beginning slides, we just wanted to take you through our scope of the work which we are doing, and I'm not going to be reading everything else because it will be a repetition as I go through. Then we'll also be discussing the strengths and weaknesses which we have now ourselves as the Department of Defense, not necessarily relating to the work with Public Works. Now, what now? Disconnected. We're back, Honorable Chair.
Or you can only read technology.
We are back. Thank you very much. Now, I was talking to just the scope which I'm going to be discussing. And then, of course, I said that other challenges I'll also be sharing with you. What are we doing internally within the Defense Force, and what challenges are we facing ourselves? But those who are dealing with the aim, as it was instructed, that we must discuss the challenges or progress with regard to maintenance and the repair of facilities in the DoD. And here we're just saying that this is a list of the mandate which we are doing ourselves, or the elements in our mandate as the Department of Defense, our vision, our mission, and then this is the structure which we are utilizing to achieve the mission and the vision of this department. Now, coming to the crux of the matter, the Defense Works Commission is managing two portfolios. One portfolio is the portfolio where we are managing projects which are executed by Public Works, and the second portfolio is where we are managing our own projects and executing them using our own resources. Now, I'll start with the first portfolio. And just as to provide context, in this portfolio, the Defense Works Commission collates information within the Department of Defense, submit it for execution by Public Works, and monitor progress. Now, the process which we are following is that we first undertake a yearly planning process internally of updating the user asset management plan. And this user asset management plan is a planning document which is informed by inputs from services and divisions within the Defense Force in accordance with their force support requirement, force employment, cost preparation, and that is the facility requirement in those areas for the MTEF. Then the services and divisions are required to submit what we call a certificate of essentiality. And the reason why we say they must submit a certificate of essentiality is to make sure that their plans are aligned to their facility requirements. For example, in the past we have had mistakes where we will fix a facility, but then the chief of a service decide that in 3 years or so they are migrating to another place. So that's why we are forcing this thing so that it must be well aligned, and I think we have achieved that one. Now, we use the UM to compare the needs and go through prioritization process together with services and divisions and produce what we call the DoD priorities, and we submit that to Public Works for execution. Now, here we are saying that if a project is less than 24 months, it can be executed within less than 24 months, we don't take it to Public Works, we do it ourselves, because it means it is not a huge project. But ordinarily, the projects which we are sending to Public Works, it is those ones which require high-level professional intervention. So that is why we are saying that ordinarily projects registered with Public Works are of the magnitude which takes a minimum of 24 months. Now, to control the projects that the Defence Works Formation uses to determine whether there is a progress or not, what we do, we use stages to do so. And the Defence Works Formation, when we realize that the project is not progressing from one stage to another, we then engage our colleagues in Public Works, and in this case it will be Mr. Tabahala and Mr. Maruha, and then other members like Mr. Tabangwani and so on. And if that fails, then we escalate that to the DG meetings. Now here we are just saying that the projects which are under execution by Public Works, and I would like to draw your attention to the stages here. This is the stages which I spoke about, which we are using to be able to say, where are we making progress or are we not making progress? So, for example, 3, it will be a pre-design stage, and in this case, we do not have any project which is in a pre-design stage. Then, if you go down up to maybe 6A, which is first delivery stage, and 7, final delivery stage, the number of projects, capital works, we've got 104, and then we've got 56 in refurbishment. Now, I need to emphasize that the majority of these projects, we don't have a problem. And then I'll be flagging those areas where we have identified that there are challenges, and we are dealing with those things between ourselves and Public Works. These are projects now for the MTEF, that is the which are going to be registered now for the next MTEF. 95 projects, capital works, and 38 refurbishment. And these are the regions on the right-hand side. We have distributed the spreadsheet which shows exactly the number and where the projects are, which have been registered with Public Works. Now, here are historical challenges which we have had between ourselves and Public Works. And we have experienced that these things, if are not resolved between ourselves and Public Works, we are not going to be able to deal with this. The first point where we say that in identified circumstances, the appointment of consultants and contractors by DPW, I think there we have just made a mistake. We wanted to say that there is no vetting, and now we have since agreed with Public Works that there must be proper vetting of contractors as they are coming onto a project. Now, we have said that at the time there are no immediate action against contractors on poor workmanship, and turnaround time of projects, we felt that it is too long. And at the time, DPW then did not agree that we must use our own capability to work on endowment GEMA properties. Now, here are the example of the problems which we have had, whether you talk about Tusai in Zeras, which was registered in 2012, and contractors going insolvent, and so on. And I think, Honorable Chairperson, if you allow me, I don't need to read each one of them, because all of them, they will just indicate certain challenges which you have had. However, I would like to just go quicker through them, and then go and discuss what remedies have we put in place after we've had those challenges. These are some of the projects registered in 2010, others 14, 15, and 11. Then you will see that in certain areas the contractors are on site and then they get the insolvent and so on. And those were some of the things which you said that they are delaying delivery, and at that time soldiers are now having no accommodation. AMS, I think the portfolio committee visited the AMS. AMS is that one in Tabatswane, which we took you through. I think you will recall. And BMS, and then the PD school. Now, here we are indicating that we had elected that DPW should administer the municipal services and leases, since we didn't have sufficient structures to do so. But then, in the time we picked it up, that actually the billing was not correct, and we picked up some of the errors there, which we then were dealing with together between ourselves and Public Works. One contentious area was the accommodation charges, where we had said that we are giving Public Works accommodation charges, money for accommodation charges, but we were not having visibility into exactly how much have they utilized this to our benefit. And then we're taking this up with them, and we have agreed that they are going to be making it visible so that we can be able to monitor progress in terms of the utilization of accommodation charges. Another area, it was one military hospital. The roof has been leaking, and this was part of the day-to-day maintenance program. And then, of course, you will have other issues like where the maintenance of the boilers, chillers, ventilators, and so on, of which you are all aware of, that have been a challenge for us. And we had said that this need to be addressed as urgently as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, I have just captured the history. On the 13th of April, the Secretary for Defense and the DG of DPW got together to address these issues. Like I said, that we had said that when the issues cannot be resolved at our level, we then escalate them. And this is one example where we have escalated this. Then at that meeting, the Secretary for Defense and the DG of Public Works had decided that Mr. Tobahale and myself will be appointed to head a task team which we are now heading. And these are the outcomes of this task team which we are talking about now. The problems which we have said we have had, looking at Zeras, we say that occupation of the facility was finalized, but there were some snags which we are sorting out, which is acceptable. Then HSI, we had a problem with the contractor, but those were issues of payment and so on, and we have since taken up the issue, and now we think we are on track. Foresight Battalion, the DPW Legal Office has issued an opinion to carry on with the project. It means that the disputes which were there between Public Works and the contractor now have been addressed, and the head office, the legal office, has said that we must proceed, and we're expecting that by the end of this month we'll see the project getting back into place. And so on I can go. I think the honorable members, they've got the presentation here. If you allow me, I will just allow you to read quickly and then leave it there. The area of concern, it is career-based, and we've had a lengthy debate about it, where we were just giving a very good example of where we had thought that day-to-day maintenance will take place, and then the project is now translated back into refurbishment or capital works. Now, here we had said that we have to make sure that this does not happen again, because day-to-day maintenance is paid up front, and if the project moves out of day-to-day maintenance to capital or to refurbishment, it means then we must now again find other funding to fund that. I've already given the answers to AMS, BMS, and PD school. Then in the area of the meters, this is where we had established that we felt that we have been overcharged for 460 million, and on the leases it was 53 million, and we are now discussing with Public Works to say we have to revisit this thing and also do it in a better way than we are doing it now. And of course, we are working on a mechanism of how we are going to recover that. Maintenance challenges at One Miltaro Hospital. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, One Miltaro Hospital, I would like you to interpret it as a two-headed animal. One, the first floor is now, the department has decided to take over the first floor project, but there is still the whole hospital which is running. And the running hospital, the maintenance thereof, it is still the function of Public Works. And over time, we'll obviously be talking of how are we going to be dealing with this. Now, here we are just indicating that the issues which were raised by the officer commanding on the 15th of December 2016, and they continue to bother us. So we said with Public Works to say, if these are the issues and they are forcing us to outsource patients, then we have to do something together. And we have agreed with Public Works, okay, here it is some of the challenges, and we have agreed with Public Works that the current maintenance program, which is there, which is reactive, if you go to the graph in slide number 34, which is a reactive maintenance program, it is actually providing a very big risk of collapse of systems, with the result that we will find patients being put at much more bigger risk. Now, we have agreed with Public Works that we are going to be putting in place a new maintenance program. But first, we have to refurbish the whole system, replace those systems which are obsolete, and make sure that they are running. But because it is a hospital, then you put a contract which will be available on around 90% availability. Now, in a discussion with Public Works, we said, yes, we agree here. But I think in their slide, they will also be capturing to say, what are we doing now? Because the problem is now. It's not necessarily waiting for us when we are going to be ramping the whole thing. So, Honorable Chairperson, this is talking to between ourselves and Public Works. I do not know whether it is necessary for me to go on to say on portfolio 2 what we are doing ourselves as Defense Works Formation and the DOD, or I should leave that one for later if there are questions.
I want you to finish your presentation, and then after that we want Public Works to connect the dots. Then there will be a discussion.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Here, I'm getting now into portfolio number two. That is where the Defense Works Commission is doing the work itself. In this portfolio, these are the projects which we have registered, 189 projects planned in the provinces, as you would see, from the Eastern Cape down to construction unit. Our main strength is that we have got in-house artisans, and I think the members of the portfolio committee have an opportunity of interacting with them. So we are continuing to build capacity, and those are the numbers of the artisans which are available to us, and others are under training. We are also running projects of mentoring and coaching, and you are aware that we have signed a memorandum of agreement with Public Works on GEMA endowment properties. Now, we say that we are able to execute and maintain or repair facilities using our own in-house capability, and I think on a number of projects we have shown to have performed very well. Our weak points, I think the procurement for facilities or for building material is a huge challenge within government and even within ourselves as the Defence Force. And of course, the supply chain, there are supply chain issues as well, which we are working on. And I think the department is working on this and trying to resolve those issues. The structures to capacitate the Defence Works Formation, for example, we need to have an engineering component, which we don't have now. The minister has instructed that we must establish this, and as we speak now, our teams who are responsible for doing the structures have already started with the first activities of putting this in place, and we are hoping that by early next year, our structure should be in place and we should be able to address most of these problems. I've indicated that the engineering fraternity, we are not having that much of that one. However, from time to time we do insource or ask assistance from our reserve force members. And in certain instances, we also approach our colleagues at Public Works, then they will attach an engineer to us to assist us where it is necessary. The other ones are internal, where you are talking of artisan aids, but artisan aids, we have since sorted them out by calling up reserve force members, because these are people who do not need any specialized skill. They are pushing wheelbarrows and so on. Then in the HR practitioners and so on, we are flaking it because if we do not manage our members properly, we are going to have challenges. Then here are other weak points as well, which will be addressed with the approval of our structure, whether it is in the logistics or in other areas like OHS and so on. So that is all with regard to the presentation from the DOD, and we will be ready to take questions. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah, we are going to ask Public Works to connect the dots, but before that I must introduce the members that have just come in, especially for Public Works. The lady on the extreme right is Honorable Nisi, the only woman. She needs 49% to meet the target of 50-50. And next to her is Honorable Marie. And next to Honorable Marie is Honorable Jesus Kosana. You are welcome, Honorable Members. Over to you, Public Works, Mr. Tubakhale.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. To connect the dots as directed, what we have done as Public Works is to reaffirm the presentation that has been made by our client department, Department of Defense. The first slide talks to the issues that were raised by the Department of Defense that we had to deal with as we were working together in the task team. These are the issues that were raised in the previous presentation. We then said to take them one by one and just indicate what has been done. The first issue was the issue of the vetting process taking too long. We have met with the client and we have also worked with the departments that are responsible for this in the security cluster. And we are addressing vetting requirements per project on a daily basis and ensure that they are processed as required in time. On not taking immediate remedial action where on contractors that are defaulting in terms of the contracts that we've entered with them, we have requested for special capacity in the legal services in the department and all the contractors that we are now deploying in all our projects for all our clients are made to adhere to contract, and where the performance is poor, we actually take them to terms, and that will be reflected. That is actually reflected in each and in the reports on each and every project. And we meet with the client on a bi-weekly basis to give reports on this. The issue of turnaround on our projects taking too long, in the presentation that Defence made on each and every project, Major General Ledwaba did indicate that most of these projects were registered in the first part of the around 2012, 2013, 2014. In the report that we are giving in the presentation on each and every project, the committee will recognize that we do not have any of our projects still caught up in the design stages. It's because we have implemented a turnaround program as the Department of Public Works on projects to ensure that we take our projects quicker as required to construction. So we, as we implement our business processes, those are the results that we realize. And in terms of the DOD executing projects that are regulated in terms of KIAMA, the approval we did grant, and that was reflected in the presentation by our clients. I want to request, Honorable Chairperson, that I also do not go into the content of each and every project. The projects that are listed here are the ones that are listed in the presentation by the client. And the details that are there are a confirmation, as I indicated, of the work that we have done. But out of this project that are reflected in the slides, that you will realize that five of those are already in construction. Six we are going out on advert, and out of those six, four are actually re-adverts that arise from the non-performance or disputes that we had with contractors. We have resolved those, and we are now taking projects on advert for us to go into construction in the coming 3 months. And one project is going through the design stage, and it's because of the extensive electrical work that had to be done there. That is the Air Force Base Waterproof. That's the item number five on the slide that is reflected. The second part of the presentation, Honorable Chairperson, is going to focus on the issues that were raised on accommodation charges and our approach to facilities maintenance. I want to request that the Chairperson, the Honorable Chairperson and the committee allow Mr. Maruha to deal with this issue, precisely because historically the Department of Public Works did not have a facilities maintenance unit. This unit has been put in place as a result of the turnaround program that we've implemented since 2012, in recognition of the fact that more than 80% of the properties or facilities that we attend to as public works, where our clients are actually housed, are aged facilities. And the focus now is on ensuring that those facilities not only function optimally, but we preserve their existence and preserve the value so as to continue to enhance our asset register, hence the introduction of the facility maintenance unit. And Mr. Maruha will then finalize the second part of the presentation with your permission, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Over to you, Mr. Maruha.
Thanks, Chairperson and members of the committee. I think before I go into the funding challenges and the accommodation charges, I just want to give a context, as alluded by my colleague, Mr. Tobakhale, about the history and structure of maintenance within public works. I think first is to acknowledge that maintenance and facilities management in particular in public works has been part of what is called property management. It was not a standalone function, a standalone branch. Hence, it didn't receive the attention it deserved. And this was recognized by the department. And when you look at the programs of the department, facilities management is now a standalone program called Program 6. And a standalone branch, which we started beginning of last year, in recognition of the importance of this function. So we need to recognize that we're starting from a zero base to build this branch, and hence we acknowledge some of the issues that have been raised. And also, just to put the context, what both General Edwaba and Mr. Bahale put here. Mr. Tobakhale talked mostly about the capital side of maintenance, where we're doing projects. Facilities management has to do with the operational side of maintenance, where you do maintenance on an ongoing basis on a facility. And that's where, at the moment, we are short. And that's where we are focusing in terms of the turnaround of facilities management, in particular maintenance. So, now, the issue of funding as it relates to maintenance coming twofold. The one part, obviously, is that at a particular time in any facility, it requires serious capital injection. Then, on an ongoing basis, you have operational maintenance. If the right investment is not made at the right time in a facility, what it does, it puts pressure on the operational maintenance. And one of the things that we are grappling with in relation to that is to be able to identify what capital injection is required and what is the level of funding for our total facility and what is the ongoing maintenance. Now, it comes to the issue of user charges and devolution of budgets that have been alluded here. And I need also, just to give a bit of a background, and in anticipation of the points we wish to make. Traditionally and historically, public works used to have the budget for the maintenance and management of its entire portfolio. So he decided when to do maintenance, he decided when to do capital. In 2006, National Treasury decided that maintenance budget must be devolved to clients. And the reason for that, and it was a good reason for that, to say there must be a tenant-landlord relationship between public works and clients, where the clients pay the user charges to public works, and public works give visibility what they do with those rentals. Then it brought in what is called accommodation charges. So the principle is be a tenant, have control your budget, be the landlord, get the accommodation charges, and where capital is required, request it from the tenant, and have a transparency in terms of funding of both capital and maintenance. That was good. But the challenge, of course, is when a scientific study was made, what is the correct level of accommodation charges? That's where the problem came. I don't have to give you the numbers, but the devolved budget was a fraction what was calculated to be the requirement to make sure that we do proper maintenance of the facility. And what we now have done, because this is now a requirement for public works to have the right funding to do the right maintenance, we need to make sure that the right level of accommodation charges are paid so that proper maintenance, both capital and operations, are done. So as we begin to develop these maintenance strategies, what we have done now is to say, how do we establish the correct baseline for maintenance to be done? So we have prioritized 300 facilities across the country where we say we want to do a proper scientific deep dive, because we've got 95,000 structures. If you go and do 95,000 structures, it will take forever to do this. If you take 300 and begin to assess what is the correct level of maintenance, what is the correct funding, and you can have a conversation around it. In that, we took the top 13, and one of the 13 is one military, and did a deep dive technical condition assessment on this 13 facilities. And what is coming out is, of the 13 facilities, we are now seeing a capital backlog of about 650 million on 13 facilities out of our portfolio of 95,000. And when we extrapolate what would be required for the 95,000, we come up with a figure of around 75. And this 75 will still need to be confirmed scientifically. But what we are saying is there is a 75 billion capital backlog required to bring this facility to a particular level of condition. From there, you can do a proper ongoing maintenance. This is the conversation that we are having with National Treasury to make this problem visible. The second issue that I think General has also alluded to is that we need, as public works, to make visible the elements that we are charging for. And that project is called itemized billing. And we are also speaking with the National Treasury to construct that itemized billing so that it makes sense to National Treasury and to the client. But the next slide just indicates the point I've made, that in 2006, there was a devolution of the budget to the client. The blue line, the green line, shows the actual evolution of accommodation charges over time from their base. But what was promised in terms of framework is the red line. They should have actually gone by the red line. But the blue line is the scientifically evaluated line where the accommodation charges should be. So there's a big gap between what it should be and what it actually is, and also a gap between what was promised to be. And the point about all this is to say, I think collectively there's a recognition that the level of funding to do a proper job on the government facility is not where it should be. And when we talk about the scientifically calculated, it's based on what government has already put down in terms of GIAMA and the National Infrastructure Maintenance Strategy. So I just need to make those points, Chair, as we talk about funding. Now, I'd like to go to a specific issue of one military, which was already raised. And as I said, one military is one of those top 13 facilities that we call strategic and requires focus in terms of how we do maintenance. Now, before I talk to how we were focusing on one military, I just want to give you the level of maintenance that we are doing and also relate to one military. There is the basic maintenance that you do, which is called day-to-day. That's when you only react to things which are broken. That's the on one stage. On the other is what is called total facilities management. The total facilities management, I can give an example as a total motor plan. If you buy, you know, a brand new car which you made an investment, a motor plan gives you a total inclusive maintenance which you pay for in relation to the investment that you have made. Now, for these top 13, including one military, they deserve a proper motor plan. But historically, we didn't do that. And because we didn't do that collectively, there are issues. That's the issues that we are agreeing we need to deal with. However, we've agreed with General Ledwaba and his team that we must endeavor, and we're endeavoring that in the next 6 months, we need to put a total facilities management for one military because of its strategic nature, because of its complexity. It requires a total facilities management. In the meantime, and we've done this before, in the meantime, we are putting a resident maintenance contractor on one military who will be able to respond to the basic issues, but it will be somebody who is there dedicated to one military. It has worked in the past, but it's not a total solution, but it's what we've agreed to do, and we're committing that in the next 6 months, then we need to put this motor plan. I think, Chair, I've summarized the issues. I think I'll stop there, and then I can make more comments during questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Public Works, are you done with your presentation?
Yes.
We also have a presentation that is linked to the DMV. Let's supplement.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've asked DG Market to present.
Thank you, Chair, members. I'm hoping having listened to our colleagues and from Public Works, I think to preface, I mean, one could just simply say that the history of the DMV and the challenges faced by the DOD are almost intrinsically linked, because the Department of the Military Veterans currently is now 6 years old. And we could offer to say that, I mean, as far back as late 2012, we started dealing with the request for our office accommodation. But officially, as is indicated, if someone can just, if you can move on, one could now then take us all the way. Move on again. Previous slide, please. These are the requests that the department has registered officially with the Department of Public Works. And as is indicated, some of them date back as far back as the 5th of May, 2015. Thank you. And here's the update. The lease agreement to the current DMV HQ was signed in February 2014, and the lease will expire in November 2018. But what had happened was that, I mean, the then DG, Mr. Muntuli, of the DMV had already indicated that, I mean, ideally, the most important thing would be for the department to have its own permanent headquarters. And this has been registered with the department as well as with the National Treasury through the UAMG, as is indicated there. In June 16, we as a department I mean, we requested this formally now for the acquisition of this, I mean, process of the new HQ. Next slide. In 2015, again, given the changes that were being felt within the department itself, a formal request was put in for additional office accommodation. And the building that had been identified was the one that is adjacent, I mean, they call it in their terms at the National Public Works nominated process. And a strategy and deviation was requested through the Gauteng Regional Office. But the whole process was halted without any explanation. Meetings were held with the regional office, and the letters of complaint were sent through to GPW without any avail in terms of closure of communication. Provincial offices, all of the requests that had been flagged were put in at more or less the same time. In Mpumalanga, the lease agreement commenced in March 2016 and it expired in March 2021. The same, with the Northwest, June 2016, expiring in June 2021. The Western Cape, it's commenced 2016 and will expire 2021. Northern Cape, the DMV has approved the procurement of the Edgar's building in Kimberley, and it has been, the lease itself has now been forwarded to the DPW for final signature by themselves. The Free State, a preliminary cost analysis for the spaces indicated was provided by the region. And I think maybe one of the issues that may come was that, there was a new norms and standards that was indicated, but given the type of clientele that we were serving, and given what had already happened with the other three provinces, we had requested that, that 230 square meters be allowed for ourselves. And Western Cape, the lease agreement has been sent to the NDPW as well in July 2016. It has not been signed, and we have inquired, and I think, NDPW, those that are working in particular with our portfolio, the DMV, are sitting with all the correspondence which is available for everyone to then interact with. In Popo, we did encounter a problem with the regional office. They did test the market, which was indicated as being non-responsive, and this matter has now been escalated to the national office as well and to the regional manager, but we haven't yet had anything. The Joburg one in Gauteng has been advertised, and hopefully the evaluations will commence. KZN, what had happened was we had requested as well that we will be provided with offices. Yes, and an advert had gone out, but it was for Peter Maritzburg. But on more interaction, we found that the majority and the biggest group of our stakeholders is within the city of Tebini region. And it was indicated by the mayor that she is willing to provide office accommodation to the department. But now it has been indicated by our colleagues at Public Works that the normal process should be followed with the accommodation provided by the city during the evaluations. So we're still awaiting feedback on whether the process should be started over or should we continue the current preliminary cost analysis for Devon. And those are the answers that we're still awaiting, and this slows us down when it comes to especially our stakeholders who feel that, every time they have to come up to Pretoria to be able to address some of their requirements. As it's indicated there, some of the challenges that we have faced, which I'm now touching upon, is that, these submissions are more than 2 years. In fact, they're at this time we are being sparing to say that, they are almost 2 years ago, but only three provinces have just been procured. And the other part that we are happy about as the DMV is that it seems like the regional office officials do not give the agency that the DMV puts on when it requires this as an agency. Hence, the time lapse between one making putting down the requirement, and that at the same time, Chair and members of the portfolio, does play a big, has a big impact on the spend of the mega budget that the DNP is allocated. And it ends up now having to be returned to the fiscus, given that we are not spending one office of accommodation that we should be getting. And our biggest, one of the biggest frustrations is this issue of no feedback coming. I mean, you send emails, you court and every other thing, and it becomes very difficult to just get feedback to say this is where in the process the whole, procurement is. We have requested a DG to DG meeting, and we are still hoping that, now, hopefully that there is another incumbent there. This meeting will then, because I think the last meeting that ever took place was sometime in August of 2015, where some of these issues were raised, and we are hoping that, hopefully we can then have this whole issue dealt with at that level, so that at least, this whole issue of office accommodation can be handled. Then the issue of the health and wellness center, and this is why I was indicating that, the health and wellness center issue started just after the department was set up, and a lot of work was, entered into, but this was now registered again with the DPW in 2015, and meetings have been held with the regional office, and the project has been delayed due to changes of officials within the regional offices of the DPW. Meetings were revived last year, and a need assessment again submitted in March 2016 with a specification meeting that was held on the 31st of May 2017 to draw up the procurement strategy. The tender has not been advertised, and the documents that were submitted by the region got lost owing to the HQ, and they have to be resubmitted, which then means that, this is not going to be advertised in this financial year. So we are still, this has been registered with the portfolio committee to say maybe from this particular esteemed committee that an urgent meeting be pushed so that at least, this DG to DG meeting can in place, so that at least, IGR can then come to the fore. But this is which we had wanted to put in terms of, some of the challenges that the department faces when it comes to accommodation requirements. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General. Honorable members, in the three presentations, you might have noticed the grey areas that we would like to comment on, get clarity on, or advise. Can we engage the presentation? You are welcome, Honorable Dambuza.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Issa.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable JJ. Kosana, Honorable Murray, in that order. Honorable Kamede, next to me.
Honorable Chair, it would be preferable if one had responses to each and every individual challenge, instead of asking just a few broad questions, because each project has its own problems. And I'd like to get to the bottom of that. I do understand when people make commitments and say that they resolve this and they're going to put that in place, but we know Public Works is known for being extremely elusive. Let us be straight to the point. And the performance is actually dismal. If we talk about targets and sticking to targets, that is one of the departments where the goalpost shifts all the time. It's a department where there's a huge amount of money lost because of all the delays in the system. Now, there's some basic things that I think that's required from officials to do, is to ensure that all the procedures and processes are in place and managed and monitored and evaluated on a regular basis in order to have maximum efficiency and losses to that department. Now that is one of the worst characteristics. It doesn't exist in DPW. And from the reports that we read here, it is pathetic to see that this department can appoint incompetent electrical contractors. This department can put a contractor in place and says in Upington there is no regular supplies. When you do a contract and before you award a contract, the person understands the circumstances where this development will take place, and therefore there's due planning and contingency planning that should be in place for any development contract. That is no reasonable excuse. It's unacceptable. That people come and say, no, I couldn't get this, I couldn't get that. When I know I'm going to put up a building for the next 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years, and I know I need to have a regular supply. Did I make alternate arrangements, and were those supplies delivered? So there's a number of those issues we can go through one by one of incompetence, of people that are appointed, and then they don't have a lack of skilled laborers. How can a development contractor who attenders for a massive project running into millions and say, no, I don't have people that can actually do the job? How is that possible? So what vetting took place besides clearance of entering, but vetting of competency of people? Do they have the resources, or is it all fake documentation that's been compiled to say that we've got all these engineers and all these artisans and all these people that are competent to actually do the job, and when you actually open the pages, you don't find them there? So it's not only about the issues. For this department now to speak only about an integrated system, I mean, we are coming a long way, a very long way, and under the new democratic regime, it's another 23 years. And this department knows its problems, it knows its challenges, and one of the most important institutions that we can establish within is an ICT infrastructure. Because we're able to manage, we're able to locate, we're able to reconcile, we're able to check. Project management with an ICT system is one of the most efficient ways of running any project in this country or in any business. We say we don't have it. And we're spending billions and billions, and we can't afford an ERP system. And within government itself, there exists under CETA ERP systems. So I don't understand how this department can say that only now they're making a shift to a more integrated system, and they're moving away from a manual system. And a serious document that speaks now the escalation cost of the health wellness center, that time it was 10 million, has probably gone up to 50 million. Now we know that this department, we are hammering the DMV for delivering services, the lack of services, but we can also understand that their service delivery is hampered by DPW. And that money, simply because of all the accruals, just go back to the fiscus, it's loss. There's no benefit gain for military veterans. So my view is that if we could we could go one by one, Honorable Chair, 1 mil, as I say, it's a rump. You know, that's a special maintenance program. But in Afrikaans, a rump is basically a disaster. And that has been coming on from 2006. Regular complaints about DPW. And we've visited that center in the previous term, and now in this term as well, we went to go visit. We've seen also the machines that were bought that could not be fitted in theaters have become obsolete. And it's going to add huge cost. And now we need a medical technologist to go check if the machines on obsolete can still operate. Because of DPW. Now that's unacceptable. I don't think we should tolerate incompetence in this department. If it needs to be dealt with, then we need to deal with those people. But you cannot continue year after year, decade after decade, to do the same thing. So it's for me, all the excuses that's been given and now mitigating to say that we're going to do that, that's unacceptable. Because we are wasting all other departments' time and also their performance and the targets that they've got to reach simply because one department doesn't feel it is important or priority to deal with this department. I do hope that the Department of Public Work understand that we deal with defense and we're dealing with military veterans that hold a special status in this country and have been given a special status. But I don't see that with the attitude adopted by DPW. If this department complains all the time, it means it doesn't get priority. There must be a special SLA between the two departments to see that things are executed immediately. Does that SLA exist? If it does exist, why is it not implemented or by all regions? Why should regions then not acknowledge that there is a National Department of Public Works that signed an agreement with the DMV or DOD? Officials cannot make that decision. They are instructed to carry it out. So I can list all the issues that we want to actually have answers to, but I think it's going to take us the whole day, and maybe that's what we actually need, to actually interrogate the DPW on every project and all the challenges, because wasting money has become a hallmark of this department. Value for money doesn't exist. That's why I have a works regimen coming in from the DOD to cut costs, because they're able to do the job speedily, get a turnaround time which is much shorter, which there's no indication and real concern from DPW. Things just run over 35 months, another 12 months, another one is cancelled, we're going back. We don't hear about the cases, the legal cases. What was actually resolved? What was the consequence managed? What was the remedial action? What was done to the contractors that failed? We want to know what happened to them. And therefore, Honorable Chair, I feel that if we don't get certain answers today, certainly I'm going to write more than 100 questions to this department, and we're going to interrogate the department to get answers from the department. In all fairness to our departments that we have oversight over. I think that is only fair that we've got decent answers, complete answers, and we will raise it with the minister. That this must be, and even if the DPW minister must be here, then of course we need to deal with the matter. But we would like to see progress being made for DOD and DMV, where we've got a serious concern as the members of this portfolio. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Isauf. How do we spell that ramp? Ramp. I want to know how to spell it. Okay, thank you very much. I hope you're taking notes. The Honorable J.J. Skosana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation from both departments. Chairperson, we were always fighting the DMV, but today we got the truth now after this presentation. We do have a truth on the matter of why the department is not delivering services. Because our concern is service delivery. That we want to hear from the DMV all the time. But today, Public Works presented, and in their presentation, they do not, in fact, highlight the challenges that they are having together with DMV. All these problems now are coming from DMV. They are coming with a very clear report as if things are normal. That's what I heard, Chair. I came here late because I was from the committee of JSCI, of which is postponed. But this short period of time that I'm here, I heard a lot of things that are said from the two departments. But Chair, I should think we need to get the truth to say what is the real problem for the Public Works Department not to comply to the request of the DMV. I should think if we can get the clarity on that. When they request something, even the memorandum of understanding to be signed, it's a problem. If we can get a sense on that, maybe we'll be assisted. What is the real problem? Number two, you are saying your motor plan can be implemented maybe within 6 months. But when I see number of years of requests from the Department of DMV, I've got a doubt whether this thing will happen within 6 months. Even there, I should think we must be clarified of how are you going to implement this. We talk about the turnaround strategy. Turnaround strategy cannot take 6 months. It takes years. Because this is, we're talking about legacy problems here of many years, 2014 to 2015, 2016, almost there are requests made to you. But what miracles that you can do within 6 months? So I think you must convince us. And also, Chair, the obstacle for not implementing but hoping that within 6 months you will implement, I should think it must be clear to us. This non-implementation, Chair, is a problem. You think it needs a political solution. This is a real problem. Because here we are fighting about many issues, including the hospital, the refurbishment of the hospital. But if you see these small things not being addressed, then which means the hospital that we're talking about, we must forget. We must not tell ourselves that there is a hospital that will be renovated by the Department of Public Works. But we need Public Works to clarify us why they are not complying and working together with the DMV when they make a request. And your provinces are so loose in such a way that you take a resolution at national, but the implementation, it becomes a problem. That's the sense that I'm getting from the DMV. Chair, there are a number of issues, as Honorable Essa has said, because we can't go to one by one issue. We can take almost 3 days discussing this thing. But the commitment, the willingness, I should think it's something that must be addressed. Because if you are a structure, in fact, if you are an organization, you need a clear monitoring. How do you monitor your systems? How do you monitor your structures to implement your decisions? And how do you manage the entire project that you are given to your regions and your provinces? Because that's where we must start, Chair. Maybe we can get a clarity of where are we going to. But these 6 months, really I don't trust whether we'll be achieving what we're supposed to achieve. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to start off by saying I concur 100% with my two colleagues in terms of what they said. Subscribe to that 100%. Can I just turn to, I think this first one from Defence Works Formation, the presentation. On that pages 34 and 35, you've got that maintenance strategy and, and you show how deterioration is going. And that's a scary two pictures, because we've seen it in the Department of Defence as well, where they show us deteriorations. And it doesn't seem like, the point where it will turn up is on zero. And obviously, that is a concern, and we need some more information on that. Real figures, what is happening with our facilities? And at this current rate, how long will we still have access and service from those facilities? And you must please give us an indication also, when you use, for instance, real terms, inflation, and in terms of increase of costs, and in terms of allocation of money, please don't use CPI, because this is not food that we are talking about. You must use a price index that is relevant to these expenses and facilities. If it's 15%, it's 15%. If it's 10%, it's 10%. But don't use CPI, because that's a basket of food, basic food stuff. So you need to give us information that we at least have a picture to see this is how our facilities is going down. And at this current rate,
of funding and of operations. In 3 years' time, we will have nothing in one military hospital and all those facilities that we are talking about. I know that you cannot give that today, but you have to take us into your confidence in that. Pages 38 and 39, I must say that is like, you know, having a lot of race cars with a lot of, but no drivers. I mean, you know, if you look at this, shortcomings and inadequacy and no constructions and lack of this and lack of that, you could just as well close shop. You know, there are certainly basics where you start to build an organization. Don't start at the top and first, you know, appoint MDs and all the directors and pay them all the money that you get, but you don't have people to do the work. It means zilch. And I get the impression that this whole thing has been started from the wrong way around. And it implies your priorities are totally inadequate in terms of the challenges that we've got. Remember, the position of National Treasury is based on the economic growth of South Africa and of the money available. So please don't come with the excuse you need more money. But then you need more money for salaries as well. And your actual job that you need to do, you don't get to do the job. You must first look at your objectives, what you must do. And I mean, you must come up with, you know, these are problems that you have indicated to us. Will you be able to rectify this? How will you be rectify this? And please don't come and tell us in 6 months, because we know it's not going to work. And what it will cost. So that you and us must know whether we have got a realistic picture in terms of what we want, or whether it's a far-fetched, wishful thinking, you know, situation that we've got. With regards to the second presentation, I want to ask the Department of Public Works, if we as a committee go today to one military hospital, what will we find there? The same as we found the two previous times? Tell us what you have done so far with regards to one military hospital in terms of the construction, all the theatres, the pharmacy, all the specialised services, all the technology that is required. Amounts has been mentioned here. Now, I don't know if it's relevant to this, but I can recall, Chairperson, when we visited one military hospital, there was indications given to us that they need R1 billion for the construction and R1 billion to equip it with the right technology facilities, specialized facilities. Is that still the case? Because the amount that's been mentioned here is considerably less than that. Please tell us what we will get there and what it will require. Then I want to find out from you, the way that you are doing your costings and plannings, it seems like everything is done on a scientific basis. Now, when you do a scientific basis, it's often formulas and not actuals. I'm used to using quantity surveyors where you do actual calculations and actual determinations of what you require and what it would cost. And there's a huge difference between financial calculations and cost accounting and scientific calculations. We know that science, what science are doing and what science are determining, an difference between science, which is a good thing, but between science and actual, there's a huge difference. Science is projecting into the future. And there you use scientific calculations and formulas. But not for now. We've got a problem now. So science will not help us by doing the correct calculations and cost accounting. Then I want to find out, how do you do your costings or your plannings or your projects? Do you not have a medium-term budget framework, as we refer to it? That implies, do your proper cost accountings, that you exactly know what you require. You're building, you know, your provisions for increases of prices. In other words, the correct index, not CPI. And then you look and see, where will we get this money from? And you get the indication from National Treasury and your department from the medium-term budget policy framework. Sorry, for the next medium-term years, this is what you will require. Then you know exactly how much you've got. So you can do your planning, and you can come back to the Department of Military Veterans or any other department and say, this is what we've got. This is your requirements. Sorry, we can do this. But it doesn't sound like you know what you can do. And that is totally the wrong way around. So you've lost, in my opinion, the principles of basics and proper planning and execution. And if you do not go back to the basics and your priorities are right, with all due respect, you can come up with the best words and the wonderful pieces of paper, which means nothing if you cannot put that into realities of rand and cent and implementation programs. Nothing. I can tell you, absolutely nothing. You have referred to, and it's maybe you must explain to me, in the normal run of mills, if you go and rent a flat or a house, the capital work is normally for the landlord cost, but not for the tenant. Here I get the impression you are the landlord, but the tenant must provide the capital. And then the tenant must pay the increased lease as well. That sounds to me like a ideal world, like a fairy tale world, where, I mean, I would love to make an investment into a property like that. I don't have to provide anything. The tenant must provide the capital to improve my property, and because of that, they pay an increased lease. Wonderful. Tell me, is that how it works? And please explain that to me, that I can understand that concept, because that sounds incredibly strange to me. Because that's a huge determining factor in terms of budget and provisions. Then in terms of the military veterans, I mean, I can understand if this is true what you have given us. I want to concur with my colleagues, it's a shocking state of affairs. And it's no wonder nothing happens, because if you haven't got the facilities and opportunity, you cannot do that. You will also have to come back to military veterans and say, like I've said, sorry, this is what we can give you. This is what we cannot give you because we haven't got the money or the facilities. That's it. Don't keep quiet or keep a contract for a year and a half and say nothing about that. But in the meantime, they plan, they provide, and they get frustrated, and we get frustrated with them for not delivering on what they promise, and then this is the reason. Seems like there's not honesty, proper communication. Sounds to me like that. To military veterans, on that page 6, you say in that third bullet, a nominated strategy and the deviation from the procurement process was requested from the Gauteng Regional Office. This would mean that we identify a landlord that is suitable for the department. What do you mean by that? That you identify a landlord. And a landlord I describe as an individual, the party from who you are leasing from. I always thought it's a facility that must comply. And then the landlord and the rest of the process is in terms of proper procurement process and the PFMA process. What is the criteria that you can identify a landlord that is suitable for the department? What kind of landlord will be suitable for the department? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Murray, Honorable Ganeda.
Thank you, Chair. Since Honorable Mare said it, I also concur with my colleagues with whatever they've said. And secondly, whatever I'm going to say, suggest and ask is not directed to you personally, but to the department. Thirdly, I think it has assisted us to have all these three in one room. And instead of getting the piecemeal, the, you know, responses when it did with DMV and DOT. So we've come to separate water and oil. When I was reading this from the, you know, what I've noticed is that projects, we're told that projects that have a minimum of 24 months upwards handed over to DPW. Now, my conclusion has been, once you hand them over to DPW, forget about them. They will never happen. That's my conclusion. And as I was reading here, to me it read like an obituary. You know, I'll start on page 9 from DPW. And just to add that even reasons given really do not carry any weight. The first project on Zeras, project inactive, contractor insolvent, that is 2012. Upington, delivery delays, paid by 30 months, scope reduced, that is 2011. Middleburg, project cancelled, 2015. Mabato, project cancelled, 2010. Air Force Base, Waterloo, 2011, design stopped. So it's on and on and on. I mean, if we are really honest and serious, projects from 2010. And let's not talk about one military. So painful. Because this military issue, military hospital issue, didn't start now. Long time ago, when there was the late Minister Sikau. I don't know how many donkey years was that. And we still have the same military hospital just like it was then. And government has spent close to a billion on one military to date. So if you compare apples to apples, you spend 1 billion, there is no outcome. Why don't you build a new hospital with 1 billion? So you're still going to spend another billion on one military and there won't be any outcome of it. So it is really, you know, shocking. Then I ask myself a question. Are there really officials in the department that are assigned to do this job? If they are, do they get performance bonus? If they do get performance bonus, why? Because there is no outcome. You know. You might not answer that. The other question I ask myself is, out of all these challenges, you know, I know Mr. Maroha somewhere, all these things are not like him. You put him here, it doesn't fit with him. Why don't you try triple peace with all the challenges that you have? Number one, you know that you won't get the money that you need. We mustn't fool ourselves. We could have these requirements, but government doesn't have that money. So we cannot be complaining each and every year about money and money. The chance of a triple P is there. I also noticed that there were no comments in the presentation that was made by DOD from DPW on the projects 11, 12, and 13. They just said the department did not, you know, comment. Same as DMV said, they don't get a response from DPW, right? They don't get a response. I mean, this is so unprofessional. Just to get people to know this is what is happening. If they write, we come here because we are dealing with defense, with guns blazing, and the DMV is here, and we kick them in and out, they say, but we can't. We're waiting for DPW. That is why and it was decided that all must be in one room. So the situation is not really good. We must admit and not fool ourselves. And I heard my colleague saying turnaround strategy. All I know is that if you have a turnaround strategy, when you move from point A, you turn around and come back to point A. So you have turned around to the very same point where you were before. So I think in future we need to say and prioritize, at least we have these 13 sort of projects where we must focus our monies. I'm surprised because we were able to host the World Cup in 2010 when we did not have money. But because planning was good, we hosted the World Cup. So I'm worried if there is just non-performance on all these projects. And mind you, DPW is not only dealing with DOD and DOD and other departments of states. So which means the situation could be more serious. So it would be good if you could tell us honestly so that we can attend to the problem. What are the real problems on these? The real problem we must not cover up here. So I noticed General Lidwaba was trying to be nice and saying, hey, there's a problem here, but we're addressing it. There's a problem here, but we're addressing it. Okay. We need to call a spade so that we can fix things. I'm sure DPW will assist us in this, but with 1 mil, I think we've done whatever we've to do. We think also even DOD has got the capacity to do even all other projects, and we're wasting time and money by passing these projects to DPWP. So we need a very good way forward on these issues. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Gamet, the Honourable Nisi, and the Honourable Dambuza, you follow.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I think, Chairperson, really the Department of Public Works is letting us down as a country. A lot of money is being wasted because they cannot do work speedily. We only have reports here about inactive contractors, insolvents, delivery delays, project cancellation, awaiting outcome of legal disputes. This is really not acceptable, Chairperson. We won't go anywhere if we work like this as government and as different departments. As my colleagues have alluded to the fact that we've been fighting with the DMV for not having offices in different provinces. But today we can see that there is a big wrong somewhere in the Department of Public Works. Chair, it means that if we go on like this, we won't be able to deliver services to our poor people on the ground. Chairperson, on the last page of the Public Works presentation, it's crystal clear that there is something wrong here. The project was delayed by the changing of officials. Documents were lost in the national office. What's that, Chairperson? It's a long, long, long list. I don't know really what to say or what is it that it's a blockage really. Also, Chairperson, I just need clarity from the Department of Public Works if there are any measures that they put in place to ensure that the construction is not delayed for extended period of time in case a contractor becomes insolvent, if they do have any measures in place for that. Also, Chairperson, there is something that really worries me regarding the security fencing at Silver Mine base, because I was part of the delegation that went there for oversight. Given the strategic importance of Silver Mine Naval Base, why was this project not earmarked for the speedy completion to limit the risk for the SANDF? Just wish to check, Chairperson, whether other similar strategic facilities also have shortcomings which require the urgent intervention by the Department of Public Works, and whether there are delays in such projects. This is very important, Chairperson, because we can't leave these things hanging like this. Thank you very much.
I
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Apologies, I was very late because of the flight delay. Chair. I came here into this meeting in a spirit, no, as a patient. But I must put this on record that I'm very, very much disappointed from this report. But I'm not going to repeat what other honorable members have raised. But I just want to ask two or three questions. What is the problem in fencing? Just fencing. Can you have a serious problem in fencing? Emakhaya siyabiya nje. Uqine nje ukuthi ngi. Why sithi sinemali singu-government kube nzima ukubiya? One of the situations, Chairperson, as I born a silver mine, this country is not protected at all because that is a strategic area. It's an information center. The president, wait, is not secured. Angalimala jezabula, because what is happening there? Imbi, Chairperson. My question is, does the department have the capacity to deliver on its mandate now? We have to be honest, because if they don't, they must say so, so that they can be assisted. Does the department have the necessary capacity, in fact, not necessary, sufficient or adequate? Because it is very, very crucial, Chair. You can go to this department, Public Works, Charge to Public Works, NECITA. All the departments are complaining about these two departments. So, Banayana capacity, Chair. Do they have a system in place? Because if you don't have systems to monitor, to do everything, what does it mean to them, the issue of synergy in working with other departments? How do they collaborate? Because they are a department that is hosting all the departments. But if you are reading to these departments, kudityanwa njani ke kuqoqo etafileni and then come up with i-resolutions ezizakwenza ukuthi kubekho i-progress. Ayenzeki, Chairperson, nangokwale report endiyifumanayo there's nothing eyenzekayo efana nolo hlobo. I-priorities, azithini i-priorities? Because if you are serving a department, you have to sit with that department and then you ask that department, what is your priority? And then the department will say, this is my priority, and then you work in that fashion. So, Chairperson, I'm nandanga le report. Say, I tell the Chairperson, say, I tell our officials, kunjalunje, say, our respect. But we need to do umsebenzi wethu as this parliament. Umsebenzi wethu we want it. Just to oversee what it delivers. Yaye bantwini. If it delivers, ayenzini, ayiye bantwini, Chairperson. It means that kodwa sihlale lapha Chairperson kwathina. So it means ama officials are support. Umsebenzi wayo is to deliver, thina we monitor, senze oversight ya. Bona benza monitoring within themselves. But I don't know intoni enzima. At least mabathethe inyani so that if ikhona into sibancedise. The portfolio committee, that is umsebenzi wayo ukuncedisa iParliament ukuthi apho kune problem nincedise. Kantetheni nyani nje. Nyani nje. Enkosi, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. It seems that DMV is having a clean bill of health today.
Oh, I'm glad it's there. Only today.
Congratulations.
Only
today. Over to you, Public Works. There are comments. You don't have to go on the comments. The only thing you should do, you must say thank you and answer the questions.
Chairperson, I think I'll take your advice that I'll not make any answer to any comments generally, but answer to questions. But
don't use that as an excuse not to answer.
No.
The people have follow up questions on
voting. Chair. I think in the opening, let me just say that I think we acknowledge the concerns of the committee in terms of the shortcomings of Public Works. And I don't think we will, we'll try to hide the issues that have been raised. We take it to heart, and I think those issues are, most of the issues are spot on in terms of the issues that we need to deal with. But let me also say that I think one of the issues that we need to put up front is to say that there are fundamental issues that have been raised that are beyond the issues of maintenance and projects. Because the initial brief was maintenance and projects, and therefore our presentation focused on that. And I think in the context in particular of DOD, the issues of maintenance, we focused on that, we knew their presentation, and we put it around that. But clearly there are much deeper issues that goes beyond that. It goes to the overall provision of accommodation to the department that this portfolio is accountable for. And we must acknowledge, for instance, I think the issues that have been raised by DMV in our presentation we didn't cover. We're not privy to. It doesn't mean they don't exist, and some of the issues we are aware of in terms of delays in leasing and so forth. But we didn't address them in our presentation, and that's a major shortcoming. And also, let me say, and it's not a cop out. It's not a. Given this fundamental issue that has been raised, it is clear that we may have to come back with a bigger team to deal with some of the issues. It will be people in property management. It will be people in our finance to deal with the issue of funding, and we may actually identify other colleagues to come and give a comprehensive overview about the mandate, the issues, and. For instance, the issue about the ERP rollout and ICT, bring those colleagues in to come and give it a comprehensive issue around the department. I think that's in the opening, I should say. So I'm going to maybe allow maybe my colleague to maybe say a few things about projects, and I will also answer specific things about the the maintenance issues. And as I say, some of the issues are beyond what the brief was. We understood the brief to be, but we will attempt our best to answer. But I think it may be an opportunity to come and make sure that the right people can come and give a comprehensive overview to this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. We just need to indicate that the interaction between ourselves and clients has been identified as the major issue by the new acting DG. Actually, there is correspondence that will be going to all the clients for one-on-ones. We're having a strategic planning session from tomorrow. We have invited clients to come and give their perspective. Another point that I need to mention is that, yes, the department has implemented a turnaround program from the year 2012. We are still implementing that program, and just to support what Mr. Maroha is saying, it is important for us to come back to the committee and just outline what we have done in all the areas that the Honourable Members has raised issues on, whether it's IT, turning around our financial outcomes, the projects, turnaround projects we've implemented on construction issues in facilities maintenance. There's a lot that detail that we can give to the committee to show the issues of capacity that have been raised by honourable members, what we are doing about those. And in the discussions today, we might not have the time to do that, but we want to commit that if the committee gives us an opportunity to come back, we'll come and make that presentation on what we have been able to achieve as part of the turnaround program. The projects that I reflected in both presentations from Public Works and our client, I did indicate earlier on that these are projects that were registered in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. And if the honourable members look at our presentation, we are giving feedback on the breakthroughs that we've been able to record. Either the legal disputes that were there are resolved, or projects that have not been in construction over the years are now in construction, we are about to complete them. Now, the reflection that one can give is that these are the results of the work that we've been doing to correct the problems and the mistakes that have been happening in project management in the department. I must indicate that one of the challenges that we have faced is that the number of project managers that we have in the department do not give us the required capacity to implement the portfolio of the projects that we have. For instance, we did an analysis as part of the turnaround that which gave us a picture that we've got one project manager having to take care of more than 35 projects out of the total portfolio. And that analysis was done in 2014, and since then we have worked on getting a required capacity in the department, and at the moment we are at least standing at one projector, at one project manager having to look at the total of 20 projects, just as an example. We are launching a public works academy at the end of this fight, at the end of November, where we are now collaborating with higher education institutions and our councils in the built environment to bring in young qualified graduates over a period of 3 to 7 years to get them registered. And we are actually spending our own budget as Public Works, not the personnel budget, the goods and services budget, to reduce the amounts of money we're spending on consultants. We're bringing young quality surveyors, young electrical engineers. But that detail is the detail that I am indicating that we can share with the committee if we are allowed to come back and present to the committee what we are doing. The problems we have faced and continue to deal with in project management, in public works, are as deep as the honourable members have indicated to us today. And one needs to make that commitment to say that we are going to be equal to the task in terms of addressing those problems. If we look at the portfolio of defense as we stand now, and this presentation does not talk to that. It talks to the projects that we've been having problems with. But if we look at the portfolio of defense as we stand now, our expenditure is at the level that is required to be in terms of the projections on when you look at the financial year, even the previous financial year. Most of the projects that we are implementing of defense, the designs are done, as I have indicated. The only processes that we are left with is to get into procuring the services that we need. In fact, even on one military hospital, we have done all the condition assessment, as the issue was raised earlier on. And the figures that were raised as figures that reflected and were presented to the committee when the committee visited there, we have confirmed that those are the figures. What is important is how do we then implement the project moving forward. And the triple P suggestion that has been made is what we are actually looking into. I think in a nutshell, that's what one can say in terms of the projects. We would humbly request that we be given an opportunity to come and give detail as Public Works on what we have been able to do to deal with the serious shortcomings that we've been facing over the years.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members.
Let me attempt to answer some of the questions. Not all, but I think it's important that I think some of the questions that we just need to give some answers. I think there was one question about ICT ERP rollout for a department like ourselves. We are rolling out an Archibus system, which is a property management system that will deal with construction, lease management, facilities management, condition assessment, integrated with our financial system. Now, ideally would have gone live in April, but we had some delays, but we are rolling out what we believe is the one of the known property managements to deal with our total property management. So we acknowledge we are not where we should be for a department our size in terms of an ERP system, but we are rolling out an ERP system. There was a question about SLA with departments. We are rolling out a standard SLA for all departments. Now, I'm not too sure where the two departments are, but the idea is that for all the 52 departments that we serve, we need to have a signed-off service level agreement indicating all the issues that need to be dealt with in terms of service delivery standards and all of the issues that are related to that portfolio. That's what we are doing. Let me also answer the question about the 6 months, and I need to clarify when I said 6 months for one military. This is not a total turnaround of the whole entire portfolio in 6 months. What I was saying is that we are targeting to have a total facilities management contract for one military. Why do we have that confidence? We had identified one military as one of those facilities that cannot go with its current maintenance arrangement. So we've done a condition assessment. We are doing generic specification. We are putting a panel of total facilities management together. So the confidence about 6 months for one military is based on that work. But this is by no means saying we are saying we're going to have a total turnaround of the entire portfolio in 6 months. The specific one for one mil. And on early this week, we also met with the one mil colleagues to indicate that you cannot run such a facility the way we're running it. Everything we're doing should be interim. The focus should make sure that we can have this total facilities management within a short period of time. So I just wanted to give that indication. It was not meant to be a total turnaround. Also, I think there was a question which was a very good question asked about how the funding is allocated between client departments and us. You know, the issue about us asking the tenant to provide the capital. There is an asset management framework of government of how property is funded. And I think the concepts that I'll just maybe share without going into detail is the issue of the user asset management plan, which the users, that is the user department, have to develop. There's a custodial asset management plan, which we as the custodian of those assets must respond to. So there is a whole framework of how government immovable asset is managed and funded. So in the funding, the users have to provide for capital, which is budgeted by National Treasury. There is also capital that we provide for, which is called planned maintenance. So it's not all capital that comes from the users, but there is a whole framework where users actually produce the plans to say, this is our needs of accommodation. You as a custodian, Deep Public Works, you must respond to this need. Then you must talk about funding, both capital and OPEX. And all of those things are in that framework. So it's in that context, because there's a specific way that government is determined that property must be managed. And it's not only in terms of national, but when you go to provinces in the public sector in provinces, that's how government. And the idea for government is to regulate how infrastructure is managed and maintained in a consistent way across all tiers of government.
because in the past it was sort of people were doing their own thing, and it's also the concept of infrastructure, IDMS, which is an infrastructure management system of government to make sure that there's a consistent way. It's almost like government wanting to put a PFMA on property, because now we know how to manage the finance of government. We must have a consistent way of managing the properties of government, and all the terms and frameworks should be consistent across. So that's where it comes from. I think the issue of the PPPs, I think it's a very important point. Even beyond PPPs, I think it's the issue that knowing the constraints that the fiscus is having, whatever problem we have, we know we can't go to the fiscus and say pay for it. How do we find innovative ways to attract private capital into this space? You know, it could be PPPs, could build, operate, and transfer. It could be, you know, one of the strategies that we're actually looking at. We're looking at our critical components, lift being one of the critical components. We've got 1,000 lifts across the portfolio. Some of the lifts require a lot of investment, but we know we're constrained in terms of investment. But there seems to be an appetite when we approach some of the equipment manufacturers to say, can you put the capital, but we pay it over a period so that we can get the lifts going? And those are the kind of funding mechanism we are looking at to try to attract both funding and expertise that we don't necessarily have to. We don't have to hire lift specialists, but we can access that through the OEMs. So those are the kind of things that we are looking at. I think there was a question about do we have capacity to respond to our mandate? And that question is in twofold. Do we have funding to respond to our mandate? Do we have technical capacity to respond to our mandate? And I think in both those issues, we are short. And I think we acknowledge this as a turnaround, that we need to understand how much, that's why we're talking about the user charge model, how much should we have to manage the property portfolio that we have? And how do we then, the issue about whether it's scientific or not, if I've used the word scientific as if it doesn't mean property specialists doing the and cost engineering. When I'm saying scientific, I'm including all of the aspects that is required in terms of property to come up to the right base to be able to manage our mandate. So the funding, we know there's a challenge, as I've indicated, that the devolved budget was not where they were. There are, of course, the technical capacity, as we've seen in terms of the performance, sometimes of both maintenance and projects. We must acknowledge, and as Mr. Trabajada is saying, how do we access skills and develop skills to be able to have the capability technically to manage, to respond to our mandate. I'm just seeing, I think the issue of funding in terms of, you know, do we know what we need? Have we budgeted for it? There are two issues there. There is working with the base that you have and putting that into the MTF with the escalations that National Treasury will allow. But what we are saying is that if we just use that, we will never catch up. So what we are actually indicating is the base is low. So we need to understand what is the step changes required to bring it to the right level. So at the moment, that's the conversation we're having with National Treasury, to say we need a step change. While we need a step change, we acknowledge that Treasury is constrained. But together with Treasury, we need to say, how do we bridge the gap? That's really the issue. But of course, in terms of the MTF, we are participating with Treasury there. But the problem here is that we need that step change to be at the right level. I'm unable to respond to the specific issues. There was a silver mining that was mentioned. I'm not privy to that. But let me also say, in terms of the DNV, that I think the issues there has to do with the management of leases. And today we didn't actually prepare to tackle that. We promised that when we come back, I think that's something that I think we need to give an extensive answer in terms of the delays in leasing and the whole issues of leasing. But we acknowledge the problems that have been articulated. So I think, I don't know what else to say.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I wanted to deal with the issue of the fencing. We are implementing fencing projects for, especially for the security cluster, including defense. And there are specific specifications that we have to comply with in terms of the security sensitiveness of the operations of those facilities. I must indicate that there are very few role players from the private sector that provide those services. And when we do that's why the security fencing projects would be delayed, because when we do the evaluations, we have to ensure that the offers that we get from the market comply 100% with the specifications as would have been designed by the team of engineers and professionals that would have put in place. So those are the delays that we normally experience. The other issue that I thought I must just quickly talk to is that even before we come back to present to the committee, we can submit a progress report on all the projects we are implementing for defense, at least at the end of October, because we do that portfolio analysis report at the end of each and every month. And then we speak to the projects that are critical to the client and give specific details on how far we are with implementing those projects. That would give the committee a better picture of where we are in terms of the work that we are doing as the department, especially on maintenance and capital projects.
You're done. Thank you very much, honorable members. Follow up, honorable Issa.
Follow-up issue, we've raised questions, we put questions to the minister. We have followed up with the sector, and of course, in the report, DBW was also accused of there was a regular tender. That process was cancelled. It was never reinstated or another contractor for investigation. So the fence will stay down, the holes in the fence will remain there, and the steering and vandalization of the cables will continue. Even if the repair is done just a week or 2 weeks later or a month later, it's stolen again. So all the tables are stolen right up to the upper farm as well. So if DPW doesn't realize the importance of the center, then I think there needs to be an urgent meeting between the two ministers. So that the official can understand they need to execute that immediately. Otherwise, you're not going to make headway on these issues of the culture. I think I want to ask specific issues on the incompetencies of the department. And I would like to have responses, because we have the officials that the most senior officials are, and it's other people that were actually doing the work. So we're asking the question, why would the project be delayed with the department? We've asked the question here, how can an incompetent contractor, and then we cancel this contract, a second contractor appointed, his contract is cancelled, and now we're waiting for a third contract to be awarded. How much money do we lose with every single contractor? And I hear no consequences. Can we have specific answers to those specific issues? And we can be very specific about all the issues raised in the report, so that we can have an idea of how DPW actually operates. Who actually sits on these committees? And tender committees and bid committees. How do they actually go through this criteria? How do they actually allocate points to each and every criteria that is allocated there to able to come out by incompetent person? And if they are incompetent. So I'd like to know what process is actually followed in that process, and why do we have so many failures in that process? And isn't it high time that we also get an independent team to evaluate the contracts? Independent engineers has no vested interest or conflict of interest with the department to make proper assessments and to see if many of those contracts are not overstated. Because we are paying so much money, we're not getting value for money.
we'll lose a lot of money. We could have built many more projects for this government, for this people, for our department, for our soldiers, but that money just goes down the drain, down the tubes every single year. So I think we have to be very clear that even if the rollout with the ERP system, the Archbishop system, is the rollout piloted at the moment? Is it being troubleshooted at the moment? Which project, although the 13 projects that will be used as part of the rollout of the ERP to test the system? I think we would like to know and meet with them and I'll start interrogating this ERP and how it's been effective. And then of course the consequences, are the people that are competent enough in the system because they need to be trained? And is that already in place about all the ICT guys that must be involved, that need to be trained to do the system and to run it effectively? Or will there be a contract with CETA where they will provide expertise in terms of the ERP system? Those are a few questions, Honorable Chair, but I think we can go on to very specific, and I think we need to know from the department how do they choose the department.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sir. The point has been made. Do you have any response to it?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the supply chain processes, we have we have regional offices, as it has been reflected in the presentations. They've got regional supply chain committees with members. We also have got a national a supply chain office with committees at a national level. There are segregation of responsibilities between regions and national in terms of the values of the project and the complexity. For each and every construction and maintenance project that we take on tender, we also do a risk assessment that is based on the capacity of the contractor to deliver on the project. There are two things that are considered, is the documentation that is submitted during the bidding process, and secondly, in local inspection of the capabilities of contractors.
Site
visits. Site visits, yes. Then the project plays itself in real time, on site, when the work is taking place. And the most of the challenges we face come from the capital outlay that the contractor would have to invest into a project. In most instances, firstly is the issue that the honourable members have been able to raise, the getting the affordable prices for inputs that a contractor would need for implementation of a project on site. Our supply chain processes insist that the inputs that the contractor brings on site should be inputs from the local, from the localities, firstly, and secondly, the inputs that the contractor brings should be inputs that meet the quality as per specifications. So that becomes a challenge. The second challenge that we normally face is the employment of the technical skills that you would need on a project. Still, in terms of the supply chain processes that we insist on, when we're looking at local empowerment, we insist that firstly the technical capacity that comes from locals should be considered. Now, those two cause a bit of delays when we initiate projects on site. Once you resolve those, you are able to get the project moving. The main cause also of the challenges that we face on site is that our supply chain process is designed for the lowest bidder to get the project. And in most instances, we have to balance the risk assessment, the technical assessment during the bidding process, and the price. And when we got on site, we have to sit with the contractor and deal with a situation where the contractor would be saying, here, the costs that I put in the bidding document are not commensurate to what the market is giving me on site. And that's why you would find that most of the contractors end up being insolvent and we have to re-advertise and get another contractor. Most of the contractors that we get, especially those that do not have a huge capital outlay, face those problems when we are on site. Now, those are the problems that play themselves when you are implementing a project. And one of the things that we realized and we have corrected is that our regions used to sit with those problems and try to resolve them. Now, at the moment, what we have done in terms of the new delegations, we have taken a view that gives the executive set head office a window into the implementation of each and every project that is above 50 million on a monthly basis, so that at head office we are able to intervene if there are those kinds of projects on site, and the turnaround time is quicker. In the past, a region would sit with a problem until you realize that 12 months down the line, the project has been delayed because there's a dispute between the contractor and the project manager. At the moment, we are intervening directly on a monthly basis. So I just wanted to give the honorable members just a picture of the challenges that we face on site. Of course, we've got contracts with these contractors. And for us to take action against them, we have to do it according to contract and their specifications legally. Sometimes our clients would feel that it takes time for us to take a contractor to task, but we must do it procedurally so that when we terminate the contract, we don't have a situation where contractors now claim that we've terminated them unlawfully and we sit with litigation costs. If you look at the presentation that we have given and the report that we have given, on the contracts that we've terminated, we do not have comebacks because we ensure that we do it according to contract strictly. That contributes to the delays that have been indicated here. The last thing that I would want to talk to is the design process. It's an iterative process between ourselves, the client, and the engineers and professionals. This process was not monitored tightly. At the moment, what we are doing is a reconciliation of the designs from your preliminary to your final designs on a weekly basis, and we make it a point that the approvals that are supposed to be given at head office and also by the client are monitored on a weekly basis. This is the detail that I'm saying, Honorable Chairperson, we can give to the members of the committee when we present our report on the portfolio in totality. The fence project that has been flagged in the report, we are indicating that we are ready to take it on tender. One of the things that we have done as part of elevating the critical projects to give them better attention from executives at head office is that we adopt those projects and we run them with senior project managers from head office, and this is one of the projects that we, with the collaboration between ourselves and the client, we will run like that. It is not something that the regions like. It's not desirable to them because most of them feel that as head office we are encroaching on the work that they should be doing. But from head office we see it as providing them with better capacity where they cannot actually give answers to the problems that they experience at the regional level. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think you're done. Thank you very much. Just to say something to encourage you to come back next time. We must not go out there and say that we have met a very hostile committee. Okay. This committee is not hostile, it's only outcome orientated because of the nature of the portfolio that we are oversighting and the sensitivities and the plight of the military veterans. Now, I know that both of you have got a vast experience in public service and corporate. Tuwakhali, you've been HOD of a lot of departments that deal with infrastructure. You've got that track record. Maroha, you've been a CEO in ESCOM, which is a bonus for the department. Now, And I do not doubt that you understand the constitutional mandate of this portfolio. Therefore, honorable members, I think we have leadership in the department. Now, what you should just do, you should note what the honorable members have said. We are going to call you again and then make a follow-up. We don't ask and don't make a follow-up. We're going to make a follow-up in every comment that was made here, the advice that was given, the clarity that was sought. Then we expect when you come back here, because of your vast experience and skill, you would have eliminated those gray areas so that the honorable members should also be satisfied that what they are doing is beneficial to our country. Thank you very much, honorable members, on this agenda.